Welcome to Slow and Steady, the podcast where you get to follow along as we build products in public. Each week, we'll give you an honest peek into our lives as we share our struggles, our wins, and everything in between. I'm Benedict, and I'm feeling busy.
And I'm Benedicta. Today is May 23rd. This is episode number 181, and I am feeling busy. Busy bees, both of us.
Yeah, sounds like it. Where are you? Like, this is not your usual recording setup. What's going on?
I am on the floor at the Nidelven Scandic Hotel in my university town, Trondheim. And I had to be on the floor because I needed some electricity. So classic conference setup. There's like this beautiful couch right in front of me, but my cord or my electrical cord didn't, or cable didn't last all the way over to the couch. So I'm on the floor, but kind of like, I don't know. I've always been the kind of person who just sits on floors anyways, so it's fine. And hopefully this will not turn into a crowded space like at 4:15. We'll never know. Because yesterday when I was flying up here, I had my Outsetta meeting. So we have a weekly hands-on at 7 p.m. my time, which is fine. You know, at home, I just make it work. But I was traveling and I just landed in Trondheim. So I found like this really quiet spot in the airport, and then I think at 7:15 it became the busiest spot in the airport because a new plane arrived and I was sitting by their baggage claim while the baggage claim that was busy when I arrived was then empty, so that was kind of fun. So I had to be good with the muting, but suddenly I was like sitting in this like super crowded part of the airport having my weekly hands-on. But that's what happens when you have, you know, when you work across time zones. And if it was during the day, you know, it would be less like things happening. But I've done the weekly hands-on at a meetup once and now at an airport. So we'll see how this continues.
Yeah.
Yeah.
What are you doing at your old university? Oh, well, not so, the university, the hotel in the university town.
Well, I've been weighing in. I've been able to just have opinions and talk all day. It's been a perfect day for somebody like me. And no, so the purpose of this trip is that I was invited to be an external reviewer, I guess, of the Master in IT program. Mm. So it's not exactly what I did because I did like a five-year program where you have to do a five-year program, but it's kind of the sister education where you can do a 3+2 master. So we were just giving input on what kind of how it looks like in the industry, what things we think will be of interest to kind of include in those 2 years in the future, and like how it looks like for the people, or how we think it's going to look like for the people, I guess, then graduating in like 26, 27, because we're doing this review now and then it will be in effect by 24. And then they, you know, they go two or three, or they'll have 2 years of their master's and then they're going to get into the industry. So we talked a lot about AI and security and privacy, and also just like we ended up at the end of the day that there might be a little bit of a, like a digital backlash, that people will lose a little bit of trust in the digital communication, because there have been cases now where people think they're being called by their parent, but it's an AI voice. And up until this point, we've kind of had trust that we can pick up what is fake communication and what is real communication. And that is kind of moving, you know, away, and that we're also seeing some kids, you know, not wanting to have smartphones. And now we created a society, at least in Norway, that assumes everybody has a smartphone. And so we were talking like, yeah, that's where we kind of ended, but we were more practical in the earlier day, in the earlier parts of the day.
Nice. But yeah. Yeah. Interesting challenges coming up.
Oh, absolutely. And also I throw, of course, through no code and low code in there, because I do think in a way that we've seen like a surge of different educations that will, you know, make you a coder. But with AI and no code and low code, we might have less use for coders and more use again for like software engineers that can like work on top of all of the building blocks and figure out what are we making. Why should we make it? Should we make it in the first place? And
oh, that's a good question.
Yeah, like, you know, do we really want to digitalize everything? Isn't it kind of, you know, it's more efficient to check out yourself. But if that's your only social interaction that day, even though if you don't want to, that might be the thing keeping you sane, right? So, you know, those kinds of implications. But so I think in a way, like this master program and like that approach to our, to what we do can be more relevant again when we kind of have all the building blocks. Like it's not so much about writing the code and more about all of the other stuff that you and other indie hackers have experienced, that software is a lot more than the code you write.
Oh, for sure. Yeah. And probably there should be an ethics class in every computer science curriculum these days.
Yes, absolutely. So I think there already is, but we were talking about how there's like a database foundational course, which doesn't teach you how to make a database or build a date, like create the database technology. It teaches you how to use a database. And we were talking about there should be a similar thing for AI, where it's like, okay, a foundational course on how do you use it? What are the implications? And that doesn't, because all of the AI courses they have now is kind of based on you wanting to make machine learning, which is very few of us are going to do that. Some of us are going to do that. And like, there are courses for that, but more of us should be aware of, you know, what is it good for? What can it be used to? What can it not be used for? And a little like peek behind the curtain, but just enough to kind of understand it more than wanting to make, because making it is much more math and statistics than anything else. So yeah, we had some interesting discussions, and it's fun getting paid to just mean or like have opinions for a whole day and not having to do anything. Like, they're going to implement it. I'm not going to implement any of my opinions.
A consultant stream, right? Just be there, sound wise, sound like a smart ass, and then walk away and let them deal with it.
But since we were talking about me being my university town, I thought I was in a time warp yesterday, because I took one of these scooters to just like give me a tour of, you know, the town and to see what had changed. And not much has changed. Like, a lot of the same restaurants I went to, the same cafes were here. And then I ended up at like the main building of the school that looked exactly the same, of course. And there was an ad, or little like cube, an ad for the festival that is held by the students every other year, a music festival or arts festival, or what, like there's music and theater and that kind of stuff, cultural festival. And it read 50 Cent, 5th of October, and no like year. And I was like, I'm pretty sure I went to this festival the year I started and I saw 50 Cent. And I was like, what is up? Like, I'm in this town, nothing has changed. Like, I'm old, I'm on a scooter. But other than that, it's like, am I back in 2003? What's happening to me? So I had to go, and I was like, did they lose it? Like, is it a thing? Like, is it a performance? Like, what's happening? But it turns out he's coming back for this festival, the fall 2023, 20 years after he was here the last time. So
crazy.
So that would kind of, yeah, it was just, I was just like, what's happening to me?
I'm stuck in a time loop. I'm starting from scratch.
And then all of this made me realize I started studying 20 years ago.
Yeah.
Let's not talk about where that led me. So over to you. Why are you feeling busy?
I'm feeling busy because I'm finally working on my talk for the conference next week. And yeah, that's my main priority for this week. I realized that I'm very much out of, like, the preparing talks and just writing muscle is very much degraded these days. So it takes me a lot of time to get back into it. But I think I've got the content figured out for the most part. I have an outline, a basic structure of the talk. I know what I want to cover. And it's mostly coming up with like the examples and illustrations to explain some of the concepts. And boy, this is hard. Like, It's really hard to illustrate that stuff, and then also to just like, I mean, it's too much code to show everything and then just like pick the stuff that's relevant and then dumb it down a little bit to make it fit on a slide and all of that. That's more work than I remembered it being. So yeah, that's my main priority for this week. Hopefully I've got something done by tomorrow, and then they can keep the rest of like spend the rest of the week tweaking and practicing. And then yeah, hopefully it will be a good talk next week.
And I'm looking forward to seeing it, because we're actually attending. Jeff and I will be attending Ruby SaaS or SaaS.
Rails SaaS.
Yeah. Conference. Yeah. I'll come back. I'll be coming back from that being like, I'm a Rails developer now.
Yeah, we see. I mean, not sure what the other talks will be about, but my talk will be fairly technical. So yeah, hopefully you learn some Ruby in the process. Well, probably not, but
I've been seeing all of these JavaScript tech content creators now do like a look at PHP. That's kind of cool. Like, especially the Laravel framework. I've seen a lot of videos and content popping up where it's like, oh, maybe there's, you know, something interesting here with not just using JavaScript and just being on the client and all of that. So maybe I'll be the one doing that on Rails then. Being like, hey,
yeah, maybe.
What about Bullet Train? Like, wow. Because those are the people they're making the conference, right? It's like a SaaS in a box kind of thing. Anyway.
Yeah. Back to you. Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's basically their thing. And I guess like they do the conference to like promote building SaaS applications in Rails, and then of course preferably using their tool set or like their boilerplate, or not sure what you call it. My talk isn't really focused on that specifically, but hopefully like some of the tactics and some of the ideas will be helpful to everyone. So yeah, other than that, last week was pretty busy as well. Not sure if I mentioned it, but over the last couple of weeks, we've been running into some memory issues here and there. And actually had some downtime last week because of memory issues. Like it wasn't a lot, but like 20 minutes or so until I noticed what was going on and stuff like that. So yeah, I've been hunting memory leaks and didn't find any. But what we discovered was that at least one of our customers were sending insanely large payloads with their events when they send over stuff. So one of them, they were sending update like events when they made an update to like when a user made an update to a page in their application, and it seems like they were embedding images and stuff like that in that page, and they were sending along the payload. Like in the payload, they were sending along the body of the entire page. So, I discovered events worth of 4.5 megabytes in our system. Like that was the largest by far. But and then they had another issue where they were just sending a lot of those large requests in a very short amount of time, and that caused our system to topple over a little bit, because that's not the what intention. It was built for, and we didn't have any limits in place for that. So after trying to get them to update this for the first couple of days, we at some point had to enforce like limits. So we now have a request size limit of 100 kilobytes in place, so everything larger than that would just be rejected at the API level, and that luckily seems to have helped to stabilize everything. We're not running out of memory anymore. Our Redis database is not falling over anymore.
I guess the attention of your API is that you send the user ID and then like an event string, like you
basically
it wasn't intended like, to.
Yeah, like we usually recommend that people just send the data they absolutely need, and I'm pretty sure they didn't need that payload. And it hasn't been a problem so far, because everyone has building it like that. And But I guess it's easy to, like, when you work at the stuff and you think about the events you want to create, it's easy to be like, ah, yeah, let's just send over everything that that describes this event. So it kind of makes sense to send the body along. But then, are you really going to use it in user list? Like, are you really going to, filter based on the body or embed the body of the updated article in a notification email? Or, yeah, like, it's very unlikely that this was useful data for them. But, yeah, they kept sending it anyways. But now that we enforced it, they also adjusted their implementation, so not sending that data anymore. So in theory, we could drop the limit again or like remove it entirely, but feels like a good thing to have in place. So hopefully it doesn't get abused again in the future. Yeah, and that's about it, I guess. Also working on a little bit of a refactoring of our triggers. I think I mentioned that as well. But I'm still in the process of like really getting a good understanding of what we are refactoring and where we're going to, like the figuring out the goal and figuring out the path towards that goal is currently what I'm doing. But that's a little bit on a hiatus until I have the talk finished, which is probably a good idea to just let some of the ideas and concepts sit a little and then. Hopefully, when I'm back in 2 weeks, I can revisit that and maybe have a better understanding of what I'm actually trying to do. So yeah,
sometimes all you need is a little bit of calendar time and not forcing it too much.
Yeah. I feel like that's exactly it. Like, and just having conversations about this, maybe I should just have some more, because yesterday I had a conversation with Leo, our front end developer. And I just try to explain my thinking to this point. And in that conversation, we both eventually ended at an aha moment where we suddenly like understood something a lot better than before. And hopefully a couple more of those will help to really give us an understanding of what we're doing. Because it feels like we've been dancing around a concept that didn't really crystallize until now. Mm-hmm. So we have like stuff, like some code that like works towards that, but it's not really clear to what it works to. And having those conversations now, it feels like there's a pattern or like a thing slowly evolving. And that gets me pretty excited, because if it turns out to be true, like it's again collapsing a lot of complexity into a much simpler concept. That just wasn't obvious to us in the past. So, yeah, that's the stuff I'm excited about these days.
Yeah, I just, on my end, last week was bank holiday bonanza. Mm-hmm. We had 17th of May, our Constitution Day. Then it was Ascension Day. Then it was Squeeze Friday. And then was the weekend. And we spent the Squeeze Friday and the weekend on a boat. On a sailboat. Nice. With our friend that we've done before, and it was awesome as always, and it always gets me geared towards we need to go on a longer sailboat trip. So it's gonna happen within, I set myself like 3 years, it's gonna happen, like a 2 to 3 months trip, because I think at that point,
that much longer. Okay, nice.
Yeah. And I think the two options are kind of Norway, England, and what are these countries called in English? Færøyene and Orkneyene. It's these islands in the middle of the North Sea between England and Norway. I think they're owned by Denmark.
Is this the Faroe Islands?
Yes, Færøyene. I've never heard these in English. This is weird. I didn't realize until now that I didn't know the English word. But anyway, so that is one possibility. And the other possibility will be like the Swedish coast and then ending up in Helsinki and then going back along kind of like Riga and Gdansk and those countries. So I put it on myself to make this. I'm going to make it happen. And the time frame is a little bit that Lillian kind of loves it at this point, and she's 8. And I think when she's like 12, 13, she won't be as, like, you know, we can make her come, of course, but I don't think she would be as excited to like spend that much time without her like preteen friends. So I think that's going to be a good kind of deadline to like make this and not too long of a deadline to make this happen. And then I've ordered stickers for Outsetta so that we have stickers when we come to Rails SaaS, which is like a very important task when you are the first developer relations person or developer advocate. You need stickers, and I'm pretty proud of them. They're kind of fun. So we'll see how people like them.
I will bring stickers too. I already...
Oh, you already have. Well, I had them sent to Greece because I ordered them last night. And since I was up ordering stickers, I actually saw a bug in one of our Cloud Denario plugins, like a very embarrassing bug, but I got it. It was reported. And then since I was up, I got it fixed, I think like 40 minutes after the person reported it. So that was some good open source. Yes. Because it was like, I mean, I don't even want to say what it was. So embarrassing. Go look it up. And, you know, so then a little bit here and there. And then it's back to business at the bank tomorrow. And then I'm headed out to paint my cabin. And then I'm headed to Athens. So it's a busy
weekend and busy week. Yeah.
Yes. But it's fun. It's all, I don't know. I've come to a point where I feel like I managed to like stay, we'll see by the end of these 2 weeks, but I managed to stay like fairly calm, and the things that has to be postponed, I'm like, they'll have to be postponed, and not kind of being like, I'm going to like get as much done, or like, I'm going to get all the things on my to-do list done. Just like, it's got to take its time. I'll just, you know, I have to take care of me first and all of that. So feeling very like grown up and evolved right now.
Nice.
And I'm reading a book called 4,000 Weeks, I think, which is really good on the point of letting things take its time, and also why you should spend time standing in line at the grocery store and not order your groceries like I do.
Why is that? Enlighten me, please.
Well, see, I'm like 2/3 through the book, so I don't know if I can like vocalize all of it. Okay. But it's something that we started talking about when we were talking about the kind of the education here for computer or for informatics, a little bit about if you make everything as efficient as possible, you are also in a way losing out on life, basically. And that kind of having to slow down and having to kind of do some of these boring things is, it seems to be important to our well-being and happiness. That when we become truly efficient, we just strive for something else, which is to become even more productive and efficient. So it ends up becoming a never-ending race of efficiency. And his point, I think, then is that we're always looking to the future. We're becoming efficient now, so we'll have more time in the future. But then because we're efficient, we get more things on our plate, and then we try to be efficient, and then we end up just being efficient for some future that might never come. And then that maybe life is standing in line at the grocery store looking at people and like not being efficient.
Kind slowing of down thing. A little bit at times, yeah.
Yes. So I thought that was, I don't know, he puts in a way that I haven't really read before. He's like an ex-productivity guru that kind of had some epiphanies, and he references philosophers but also research. And yeah, I think a lot of our listeners could benefit from reading this book.
I feel like if you are more efficient just to increase productivity, I feel like that, yeah, that's, it's probably not worth it, or like not the way to go. But I guess like if you're more efficient to optimize for more like free time, or like more leisure time, or like more family time or whatever, that's something else. It's just my gut feeling.
Yeah. But he's got some, I don't know if I'm eloquent enough or like understood it enough, but there are some good points in there, and how that, because then you're talking about efficient use of leisure time. suddenly also? Like, what about time where you're just being and not...
I mean, do you mean the time where I'm on my couch in front of my TV just watching something meaningless on the telly?
Well, then that's you're not watching really something. No. So he doesn't want you to spend more time on that. But maybe instead of doing that, have little blips throughout your day where you stand in line or you just take a break without any input, or you spend longer making your food and you kind of enjoy it while you're making it instead of thinking like, oh, how's a more efficient way of like making this food so that I can have more free time. And it's the classic fisherman story where like, you know the fisherman story, right? It's very cliche. Do you know what I'm talking about?
Teach a man to fish and he will be fed for the rest of his life. This one?
Yeah, no, it's this Mexican fisherman, and then he spends a couple of hours every day fishing, and then he spends the rest of the day hanging with his friends and kind of enjoying life. And then an American businessman who's on vacation is like, oh, you know, you should work more and then invest in a bigger boat because then you can have a bigger float and you can, you know, just like create a corporation and you can get a lot of money. And the fisherman is like, to do what? Yeah, so you can relax and hang out with your friends and drink. And he's like, well, that's what I'm doing. So why do I need to go through this process of efficiency and progress, or quote unquote, quote unquote, progress to get back to the state that is the idea.
Right.
And I've heard this story many times, and that's very like a simplified version, but this book goes into more, goes more into depth around that.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. And one of the tasks he does is sitting watching one artwork for 3 hours.
Okay, sure. I mean, I know some people do that, but I guess that's not for me.
I don't think he did it again, but it's something art teacher at some college, that's her first homework for her students, is that they have to go and watch an artwork for 3 hours as an antidote to the busyness and the, and the pace of their lives. So anyway, it's an interesting book. So I recommend
Sounds like it.
Yeah.
Cool.
I guess that's it.
Yeah, that's it. We'll be skipping next week, I suppose, because you'll be in Greece already on Tuesday, right?
Yes. So let's skip next week. But I'll see you.
Yes.
In person next week. And maybe you who are listening, maybe you'll be at Rails SaaS. In case, if you are, let us know.
Yes, let us know.
And if not, we'll see you around.